And welcome, everyone. We are back in 2022 with our first episode of the year. Granted, the last time you may have heard this sultry voice in your ear, it was April of 2021. So, yeah, kind of slipped, had life happen and went about that. But I figure if we're going to bring back the podcast, then we got to bring back one of the OGs of this podcast. So, you know, without further delay, I got to say a big what's up to the homie Vito number 9.
Hello.
Say hello to everyone. What's going what's on, up? Man?
Hey, man, I'm glad to be here. It's been a while since I was around. I haven't done any kind of podcasting since the last time. It was what, me, you, and Kevlar, I think.
Yeah, it's been a while. I think in that
several
time,
years.
Yeah, I think in that time, smartphones became phones. Google Docs stopped looking like it was in beta, even though it's still. it's been a minute.
Oh man, that was back when Steve Jobs died.
Yeah,
that was a long time ago.
Yeah, but it's good to see you, man. I'm glad that you agreed to this. I'm glad you're here. And as I mentioned earlier, that game collection behind you just gets bigger and bigger every time I see it.
Yeah, I have a mild addiction. Like I was saying earlier, I've got a new one coming called Petrichor.
Okay.
Petrichor is the word for the smell after a heavy rain. You know, that smell after a rain outside?
Yeah.
That's petrichor. So the game, you're actually controlling clouds. You play as a thundercloud, and you're moving your raindrops around and raining down on the crops, and you're manipulating other people's raindrops to try and get the most points. It's
All right.
a lot of fun. It's an interesting little puzzle. It's a different theme, right? Because you don't think of clouds when you think of board games. But I've played it a few times on Tabletop Simulator.
Yeah.
It's a really fun game. Really relaxing, too.
It sounds like one of those things. One of the things that I've recently, and because of you, actually, I think about a year ago or so, you had put me on to a game on Kickstarter called Canvas. Mm-hmm. And since then, I think I've started picking up all kinds of board games, tabletop games. I've never really been into them and, nowhere near the way you're into them.
Right.
But I've really started picking up just different things I would have never, thought about before. Everything from, the casual kind of Cards Against Humanity type stuff to really, for lack of a better word, I guess artsy, like Canvas. So, and having my nephew, my 6-year-old nephew around also kind of encourages me to do more tabletop stuff, just because, I'm tired of seeing him with a screen in front of his face. So it's just just to do something different.
Yeah, so. That's one of the reasons that I started my family board game night, was just to kind of pull my kids away from the screens for a couple of hours, sit down, have some time with the family, and engage their brains with something that makes them think in a different way, right? Because school it keeps you in little boxes, right? Here's your math box and here's your history box. But board games, especially some of the ones that I've got behind me, will – pull you out of that and make you think in a completely different way. How can I turn these three widgets into more points than he's going to get with his five widgets? There's got to be a way, right?
I got to be
able to move shit around. I manipulate. And I like that. I like the puzzle that each new game presents. And I like throwing that at my kids. For maybe the first year and a half, I would just brutally stomp them into the ground. No mercy for my children. And for some time they were demoralized by it, but I realized what I was doing, and I thought about how I would feel if I was just getting stomped into the ground every time I played board games. So I got to a point where I'm explaining my moves to them. I'm like, mm-hmm. look, this is what I'm doing. This is why I'm doing it. This is why I'm going to win.
Like, okay.
You can stop me, but you have to do this and you have to do that. And for like a good 6 months of that, they were like, oh, well, he's just trying to get one over on me. I'm not going to listen to him. But they've gotten to where they're accepting the coaching now, mm-hmm. and they've gotten better at it. They're actually starting to beat me now. And that feels great.
Yeah.
It feels really good to see my kids engaging with the games and not just going through the motions, but actually trying to win and going for that win. It feels really good when they get it.
Nice, nice. Yeah, that's always awesome to see. Like, it's funny. Like, I am no father, but you know, like just being there with my nephew, just seeing him, you know, like this past summer, you know, big part of the reason why I did take time off from the podcast was because just being around, you know, having him around and just kind of doing stuff with him, you know, just to priority. It's just like, look, you want to sit here yeah. and watch the tablet? Like, nah, we're going to go outside and we're going to play soccer. It's like, oh, you don't know how to play soccer? Like, you're going to learn. Like, we're going to play baseball. Oh, you don't know baseball? You're going to learn. Like, oh, this is, you know, like you're tired of running. Great. Yeah, it's just awesome. And just seeing them pick it up. And just like really like making it their own, especially when they find something that they genuinely like just love for themselves. You know, like I noticed that he kind of gravitated towards basketball in the beginning, but then like really loved soccer because he just loved running with the ball, kicking the ball. And it was just like, yeah, by all means, you want to spend 2 more hours playing soccer? Go for it, dude.
Yeah, let's do that.
It's just like, you know, like me and my like 90-year-old back running behind the 6-year-old kid. Just like, it's just like, yeah, I'm going to go home and I'm going to like take a bath in Bengay, but like it's worth it.
Absolutely. Just yeah. to get kids moving again.
Yeah, I love it, man. I love to see it. You know, and again, like any, like you mentioned, anything to kind of get kids thinking outside the box, thinking, you know, like thinking outside of kind of the structure that they're exposed to, you know, day in and day out. Mm-hmm. I think that's always like a big thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, before we turn this into like a family podcast, we should probably throw in a curse word here or there and get into tonight's topic list. What do you say?
I'm down. Let's do this shit.
All right. So, you know, just off the top, we're going to start off pretty easy. A couple weeks back, iLeaker, surprising name for a website. It's actually iLounge, but iLounge basically posted an article back on January 11th where a leaker revealed Apple's foldable iPhone plans. So, you know, that seems to be kind of like the flavor of the moment, as it were, right? With phone yeah. designs, right? Mm-hmm. I think we've done everything we can with a rectangular piece of glass, and I think now we want to make the rectangles bigger but also foldable. I don't know. Like, it's one of those things where it's just like it makes sense. Like, everyone's kind of going in that direction. I think all the big handset makers, you know, like your flagship guys specifically, like your Samsungs, your Apples, your I would even like LG doesn't do phones anymore, but like I guess what's the other one? OnePlus might
still be OnePlus.
Yeah,
Oppo.
You know, and
Xiaomi, I think.
Yeah, I think anyone who's like really invested in the space is looking into a foldable design of some kind. You know, and one of the things that really stood out is that they were aiming for a 2023 release. You know, given
Apple was?
Yeah. Yeah.
That seems a little early for Apple. They usually like to kind of hold back a little bit, see where the market moves, and then improve on the mistakes. But foldable displays are still really new. That seems fast for Apple.
It does. And also, like, you know, I kind of throw a flag on that date just because, you know, like you said, it's too early for Apple. The technology, while is functional. I think there are a lot of durability concerns, you know, despite, you know, don't get me wrong, the Samsung, was it Fold 3, I think they're up to now.
The Z Fold, I think it's called.
Yeah, the Z Fold. Like, it's it's a big step up from, you know, the original Fold design that they had, that they had a recall because the screen basically kept falling apart. But it, you know, there's still like issues with the screens, you know, there's still like that weird tension in the middle. There's still like, you know,
yeah, there's always a weird wrinkle.
Yeah.
It's always just like a divot, no matter how, who designs it or how it folds it. There's always that weird wrinkle in the middle, and that annoys me.
And, you know, also keep in mind that, you know, these are not cheap phones, right? Like, you know, we're not talking about
like
even
$1,500
and up. Like, I think the Z Fold, you know, like the fully maxed out version is like $2,100.
That's too much for a phone.
Yeah. I'm like, look, honestly, you know, just, you know, I bought the iPhone 13 after having an iPhone 7. You know, for all these years, like, I'm just like, I bought my wife.
Dude, remember my old Pixel 2 XL?
Yeah.
I just replaced that like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. My
2 XL got replaced by a Pixel 6 Pro.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine having a bigger screen than this. This thing is already massive.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, for me, it's just like, you know, I'm pretty much locked in into the Apple ecosystem, you know, as we joked about.
Oh, yeah. That's always been your thing. You've always been the Apple guy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I love my Windows phones, like the Nokia phones, if you remember back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. As I remember, you were more into the Nokia phones because they had those Leica cameras on the back of them.
Yeah. Like honestly, like they were at the time, they were the best cameras you can get on a smartphone.
Oh, they were amazing cameras.
And, you know, it's sad. Like, you know, I don't think Windows even believed in their product. And I think that's the worst part of it.
We'll get into that in a little bit.
but yeah, so this iPhone foldable iPhone rather, it's one of those things where it's just like, I think, you know, like most companies, they'll put it up there like in a patent filing, but I don't think they were looking for any kind of 2023 release. It's way too aggressive for Apple. You know, and I'll be the first to admit, you know, Apple fanboy and all, like, they're not doing anything on the bleeding edge. They're going to make sure that they fix all the problems with it and then make it look like an Apple device before they put it out.
Mm-hmm.
So
Apple is very much the improvement company. They don't innovate too many things on their own. They just make what's already there much better, and they make it function flawlessly inside their ecosystem.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
What Apple's good at. Yeah. They're not good at making new things, but they're really good at making things better.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, like you said, they probably just threw that patent out there so that they've got it in the future when they do want to move into this space, when everybody else has figured out all the logistical errors and the problems that can exist. Apple will move in, put their little fruit magic on it, and turn it into, you know, a product that shines in the Apple space.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I can't wait to see something that looks, you know, like a brushed aluminum with like some weird funky Corningware foldable glass and whatever else they come up with. Whatever marketing bullshit they come out with, I'm sure I'll be eating it up. So, you know, here's to 2025, 26.
Yeah, maybe yeah. Around then.
Yeah.
If foldable phones even last that long, I don't know why, but I feel like it's just a gimmick. I feel like it's one of those things that people are going to get really excited about for a while and then realize that it's just not really feasible for long-term use. It'll just get scrapped.
Yeah.
That's
like,
how I feel about it.
Don't get me wrong.
Way wrong before, so.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think that's one of those where the novelty does wear off, but also it's kind of like one of the biggest gripes I had with Android tablets was that there was really nothing available for Android tablets, like not mm-hmm. specifically for that tablet experience.
Right.
And, you know, you kind of are having that problem with, you know, your Z Folds and those types of devices, because now you have a phone that will essentially double in screen size, but all of your apps are basically just stretched out. Like, there's nothing really made for it specifically, and it's just like, okay, so, yeah. You know. I mean,
that goes back to what we were saying about Apple, like, 2 minutes ago. That's mm-hmm. why the iPad is still around. They saw what was possible with tablets, and they made it specifically for the Apple ecosystem. They made sure that everything that worked on an iPhone also worked on an iPad, and everything scaled properly. Everything was still crisp and clean and fast. And you just don't get that on Android tablets. Even today, it's hard to find a comparable experience to your phone on a tablet, because it's just they're not designed the same.
Yeah, yeah. It's just it is night and day. And it's funny because you know, more recently, I've been helping, you know, for work, I've been helping develop like online courses. Mm-hmm. And in doing that, you know, we have like, I basically, you know, now have really for work, I now have like 6 devices sitting on my desk at any given time. And most of those are Android devices because none of them work the same, even though there's nothing functionally different with any of the software. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, that's, you know, and it's one of those things where you have to constantly, you know, kind of QA for it. It's just like, oh, you made an update to this one thing, works fine on, you know, works the same on an iPhone or an iPad, works good on a browser. Let's check out the Android side. And it's just like, oh shit, you broke it on 4 devices.
Yeah. Okay. It works okay on Android 12, but on Android 11, it's all jacked up. Oh, yeah. Now Android 10, it doesn't even load.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you have manufacturers that just don't put out updates, like the
like
Windows
Sony.
Phone, the foldable Windows phone. Yeah. I mean, they're just now putting Windows or freaking Android 11 on their foldable phone.
That's nuts. Dude. That is nuts. Well, you know what though? Like, it's funny you mentioned that because Sony released a flagship phone, I think in March of last year. Mm-hmm. They just put out Android 11 update for it.
Gee, there's now, no excuse for that.
That phone was, I think, $1,300. Somewhere between $1,300
and $1,500.
And it came out last year.
Wow. See, I've been such a Pixel fanboy for so long. I mean, I was a clean Android fan even before Pixel existed. I was buying Nexus devices. You probably remember.
Yeah, I remember those. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I haven't even looked at other manufacturers, to be honest. I didn't even know that Sony put out wow. They dropped a brand new phone and didn't even have the latest Android on it. Brilliant.
Yeah, and it's funny because they just this year Sony released what they call their professional creators phone, which is basically a phone with an actual aperture on, like, movable aperture, mechanical aperture on their camera, on one of the cameras.
Wow.
Yeah, and it uses a 1-inch sensor, which is like, sounds good, but the lens.
How big is that phone?
It's not that big. It's like about this. It's I think a little bit. It should be about the size as your Pixel.
Okay.
It's about that size. But here's the thing: the lens that they're using to cover that 1-inch sensor is still a tiny little smartphone camera lens. So, like, right. You know, you're not using the 1-inch sensor. No. You know, at least not in any meaningful way, right? So, but again, you know, it's interesting to see that they did that. But again, here's the biggest problem. It has the, or at least what was the latest version of Android in December, maybe. But who knows when they're going to update that. And again, this is a $2,000 phone. Like,
that's insane.
I could never tell someone you know, buy this thing that's $2,000 because I have no idea if they're ever going to update it. And if you try to update it, I guarantee you all the things that you bought that phone for will no longer work.
Well, that's not necessarily true. Some of this stuff might break, but the aftermarket community, I don't know what they're what the proper term is, but the people over at XDA, the developer community, mm-hmm. there we go. The Android developer community is really good about putting out builds that'll work with your phone without bricking anything. But with that fancy ass aperture and all that, that might be something they can't really code for.
Right.
Most of it'll still work, but the fancy shit that you're paying all that extra for, you're probably right. They wouldn't be able to touch that.
Yeah, because and I know for a fact that Sony has that thing locked down. Like all of that shit is proprietary, you know. So you know, while you have a working phone, like again, the bells and whistles that you signed up for mm-hmm. are probably going to be gone. So you know that's why it's just like, you know, buy a Pixel. Like I tell anybody who, if you're really on Team Android like that, like you want to live that green bubble life, by all means, buy a Pixel.
Well, I can't even say that all the time now because the Pixel 6 was having problems.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember, but it was a few months ago, Pixels couldn't make emergency calls.
Really?
Because of Microsoft Teams.
Are you serious?
Yes. Yeah, I'll see if I can find the article. But basically, Microsoft Teams was fucking up the ability for Pixel phones to make emergency calls.
That is insane.
Yeah. I've got the article here. I posted it in one of my Discords. I'll find it. It's around here somewhere.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, I was like, because this happened right before I was getting ready to buy my new phone, and I knew that I wanted a Pixel. So obviously, I'm looking at all of the stuff that's popping up about it, and you know, suddenly we've got a phone that can't make emergency calls.
That's nuts.
And then, a couple weeks later, it came out that the error was because of Microsoft Teams.
That is amazing. That's one of those things where it's just like, I can't imagine what happened on the back end of the code to make that happen. Like, what the hell? What was it about? I guess like the article will tell you what it is in Teams that was preventing those emergency calls. But like that's to be nice about it. That sounds like a pretty epic fuck up on someone's part.
Yeah. According to this, it was actually blocking 911 calls.
Oh shit.
And it was discovered because in November, somebody on Reddit said that their grandmother required an ambulance. They tried dialing 911, and Android was just like, nah, son, not today.
Oh, gosh. You know what? I don't mean to laugh because, like, obviously Granny needed emergency assistance, but god damn.
Yeah, they said they believe the issue is only present on a small number of devices when the Microsoft Teams app is installed and the user is not logged in. Dude wasn't even logged in.
That's not better. Like, you know, it's just like
not even using your shit and you're blocking me.
You know that, Jesus, that is not better. Like, I don't know how. You know what? That sounded like someone in the PR department was just like, you know what? If we tell them, as long as you're not logged in, it's like no one's fucking logging into Teams. Like, I assure you, like no one wants this shit. Like, we do it at work because we have no choice.
Yeah, they were. We've been using Teams a lot for my job, and they were like, well, if you just install the app on your phone, nope. Mm-mm. Y'all pay for my phone, then I'll install work apps on my phone. Until then, no.
Pretty much. Pretty much. I'm like, look, you guys, like, I have my laptop. That's, you know, that's about it. That's all we're doing. Like, whatever you need, you send it there. Mm-hmm. Like,
I got an email address. I can find it.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. But man, wow. I kind of want to go into more Microsoft talk, but we're going to have to hold on for just a second. Just because, all right. Like, this is one of those things that, I've actually been following a lot of like the controversy. Controversy is strong, but it seems apt for John Deere. So I'm not sure.
No, it's definitely apt. That is the proper word.
Yeah, 100%. So, you know, John Deere has not made many fans, just not within their primary customer base, not among tech enthusiasts, and definitely not from the DIY fix-it-yourself community. You know, last year there was a big, big Supreme Court ruling in favor of farmers push to be able to fix their own tractors. And we're talking about pretty simple mechanical shit, like changing a tire.
Right.
You know, for those who don't know, John Deere had basically said that if you bought one of their hundred thousands of dollars tractors and decided that you wanted to fix it yourself, you essentially void their warranty. And yes, that included the replacement of a tractor wheel. It's insane because you figure, you know, like shit happens when you're using a heavy piece of machinery in farming that you would maybe need to kind of look under the hood every once in a while.
Oh yeah. Anytime you're putting that kind of abuse on something like that you would get out of a farm vehicle, you need to be able to fix it yourself.
Yeah. Like,
what happens if it breaks down in the middle of the field? You still got shit that you got to do.
No,
you got time to be hauling that thing to a John Deere representative and waiting 3 to 4 weeks for them to get back to you. Fuck that. Bust out your wrenches and fix it yourself.
Yeah.
At least that's the way that it should be.
Absolutely. And, you know, so it looks like John Deere has decided that it wants to kind of go with the times, as it were. You know, they've made a big investment in AI technology, autonomous vehicle technology, and this past CES, a lot of the tech blogs were giving them a lot of praise for their R8 tractor. And what that is a fully autonomous tractor that will drive itself up and down your farm. It will navigate obstacles. It will learn as it does it. But, you know, of course, John Deere says, look, this is for the small farmer who is having staffing shortages because, you know, you can't get labor onto the fields. And, you know, sounds innocuous enough, right? Like,
nah,
you know,
to me, it sounds like another way for them to get what they want. They just want to make their shit more complicated so it's harder to fix. Oh yeah, we'll let you fix it. Good luck figuring this autonomous shit out.
Yeah, and that's really what's you know, basically that's what it is, right? So here you have never mind that they didn't even disclose the pricing of this thing. All they said is that their most expensive,
you have to ask, can't afford it.
Pretty much. But, you know, of course, this is for the small farmer who needs help on the farm. You
small know? Farmer.
Yes, yeah, so, you know, regular salt of the earth guy. You know,
the small farmer who has an autonomous million. Track.
He's sitting on $1 million somewhere, you know, just like, you know, maybe if he mortgaged his farm 2 or 3 times over, he probably can buy the tractor. But yeah, so yes, absolutely. It's making the device a lot more complicated. The truth is, and you know, in the Wired article that we're going to post in the show notes, you know, one of the guys who engineered the damn thing basically said, yeah, we think it's unlikely that, you know, most farmers would know how to program the AI for a vehicle like this. But that's why we're doing it for them. And we'll continue to do it for them every year. It's just like, I bet. So you know, that reeks of that whole recurring revenue bundle scheme that all these companies are after. It's just yep. like you're no longer buying the tractor. I guarantee you they're going to find a way to lease these things on a yearly subscription where you're not really paying for the tractor. You're paying for the service of the tractor.
Dude, I got a fucking Roomba driving around upstairs that I pay a fucking monthly fee for.
Yeah. Yeah, that's.
I did not want this thing. I was not the one that was sweeping the floors.
Fair enough.
So my wife was like, look, we buy this thing. We don't have to sweep the floor anymore. It'll scrub everything because it's got these two little scrubbing rollers on the bottom of it. It drives around the house. It drives itself back to its spot. It empties itself out. When it gets full, iRobot mails me a new bag.
Oh, nice.
Like it's fucking creepy. They know. It calls back and it's like, hey, boss, we're full. And like, they send me a new
one. Here you go. Yeah, that's a little bit much. So it's interesting that you say that because here's one of the primary concerns from agricultural engineer Kevin Kenny. So John Deere, as you can imagine, anything that's self-driving has a shit ton of sensors and it's collecting data like you can't believe. Mm-hmm. One of the things that the R8 tractor is designed to do is it's designed to collect environmental data, including info on the soil that it's driving on. Now, they say it's so that, you know, it knows essentially where to drive, where it's safe, where it could potentially essentially get stuck in the mud. But they're also not saying why they want to hold on to said data. So it's just like, here's the deal. Like, you know, I know we're living in a time where we're there's a million and one conspiracies, you know, shout out to everyone who believes that Stevie Wonder can see.
Look, if Stevie Wonder could see, that man would not be walking around with the facial hair he's got. He would have slapped his barber a long time ago. That's all I'm saying.
Listen,
love Stevie, but somebody needs to line up his goatee right.
Oh, yeah. Maybe he's been doing it himself. Have you ever considered that? You know, it's just like.
Well, he can see.
He can see. You know, you gotta, you know, if you're going to be part of like an international conspiracy like that, you have to kind of go all in. You can't, you know, you can't let up.
Yeah, you don't want to tip your hat.
So, but yeah.
Can't show the hand.
But you know, like it brings up a bunch of questions for, you know, not just farmers, but for all of us, right? Because, you know, we in one way or another are subscribing to more and more of these types of devices and services. You just mentioned the Roomba. Tesla wants to make their autonomous vehicle a subscription service, like an add-on that, you know, this year I bought a Tesla Model 3. Next year I want to, you know, add on the self-driving option. It's just like, you know, so what does that mean for us who are basically giving them all this information? You know, like we're living in an age where our behaviors are probably worth more than the money we're spending.
Oh, yeah. Anything that's cheap or free just means you're the product,
mm-hmm.
honestly. I don't even like giving out my email address. I've been living here for almost 15 years. The hospital just got my email address last year because I went in because I was having heart issues, and while I was sitting in there I got a chest pain and they were like, oh my god, rush him to the back. And while I was in the back, my wife was like, oh, here's his email address, here you go. Why don't you send him all kinds of dumb bullshit? And they did. I hate people having my information. I hate it.
I mean, like, honestly, like I have an email address that does nothing other than collect bullshit signups. It's just like, it's like, oh, you go to what you call it, you go buy draws, and it's just like, oh, you know, you could save 20% if you just gave us your name, your telephone number, your date of birth, your address, and everything else that we can probably ask you for. It's just like, nah, just send it to this email. Like, whatever you want, just send it there. I'm never going to look at it.
Like, every time some place is like, hey, if you give us your phone number, you can save 10%. My wife is like, oh, here's my phone number. I'm like, I'll just pay the 10%.
Yeah. It's just like,
you don't need my phone number.
It's just like, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Like, it's like, I'll pay it. It's like, oh, don't you want to save money? It's just like, yeah, just ring me up.
Yeah. My privacy is worth a lot more than $5.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nuts. So, you know, I think we're kind of on the same page here. It's just like, you know, John Deere continues to be, really skeevy. You know what? There's one thing before we leave this thing. But there was a really great quote in that Wired article. Again, Kevin Kenny, is the person who delivers it. And he says, I'm all for innovation, but John Deere is trying to become the Facebook of farming. And that's harsh. It's harsh. And it's like, it's on the money. It's just like, you know, when someone is being so ridiculously obtuse and opaque, and then trying to make it seem like, well, you know, I'm doing it for you. It sounds like every possible abusive relationship you can imagine.
Absolutely. Anytime a corporation says they're doing something for you, they're doing something for your money.
Yeah.
Corporations give zero fucks about you.
Yeah.
Even the ones that you work for.
Absolutely. Maybe even more so. You know, at the end of the day, it's just like, you know, it's something that, you know, I've gotten into the habit of saying on here. And it's just like, and again, I say this fully, fully knowing that I've been indoctrinated into the church of Apple. Your brand, your favorite brand doesn't give a shit about you. Like, not even a little bit.
I don't care about brand loyalty. I used to be one of those guys who was like, oh, I only buy this brand, or I only like that kind, or I only want to eat this thing. But as I aged and matured a little bit, I realized that those companies do not give one single solitary fuck about you. If something goes wrong for you, they do not care.
Yeah.
Like, I had an issue with Verizon. Right. I've been a Verizon customer for longer, but close to 20 years. I've been a VCW customer. And the reason I stuck with them is because where I live, they have amazing coverage. It doesn't matter where I go, I've almost always got full signal.
Yeah.
But I couldn't handle their prices anymore. So I switched. But when I switched, I had to go into a brick and mortar store to pay my bill. So I went in to pay my bill. And then when I get back to my house, I realized that they've charged me twice. $135 twice.
Twice. Yeah.
So I went back. I talked to him. I went and I talked to the lady. I'm like, hey, you charged me twice. I would very much like my money back, because that's $130 that belong to bills. Like, I don't even have that money. It's not my money. It belongs to other people. So I fill out all the forms. It takes like half an hour to get it done. Oh, okay, you'll get your money in 3 to 4 business days. A week later, I get an email from Verizon saying, yeah, we did an investigation and we found out that you're not getting your money back.
Any particular reason, or just because not?
No, they just said I wasn't getting my money back. So I blew them up on Twitter.
I remember that, actually. I blew them up
on Twitter. And they contacted me and they're like, oh, well, let's do all this. So I'm going through all this stuff, chatting with them online. And then the guy just abandons me. Half an hour later, I was like, all right, fuck it. I called my bank, finished. I did everything I needed to do with the bank and got off the call, went back to the chat, still hadn't heard from him, told them what was going on, closed the chat. then they see me on Twitter and they're like, hey, can you come back to a DM? No, you can deal with my bank. Yeah. By the way, the very next day I had my money back from the bank.
Oh,
along with the 100 and whatever the fuck it was overdraft fees that they hit me with for all the money that didn't get paid after Verizon took the money that they weren't supposed to have.
Yeah, that's wild. That is wild.
Companies don't give a fuck about you, man. They just want your money.
Pretty much. Pretty much. Speaking of wanting that money.
How about $68 billion of that money?
$68 billion. That, you know, like I feel like this is Sesame Street, you know, where they say the number of the day and it's just like the count, like 68 billion. And yeah, man, that's the number of the day, 68 billion. You know, to put that in perspective, and obviously, you know, we're talking about Microsoft, right? Microsoft last week, I think so. All these days are just like melting into one another. So last week, Microsoft announced that they bought Activision Blizzard and King. I think that's the mobile farm.
Yeah, that's the one that has Candy Crush and all that.
Yeah, so Microsoft bought Activision, Blizzard, and King for a reported $68 billion. $68.7 billion.
Yeah, you know, man, that's so, an extra $700 million. You can't leave that on. That's a lot of fucking money.
Listen, you know, what's $700 million between friends, right?
If that's the case, how about you give me $700 million? You know what? You can just give me $100 million. I'd be cool with that.
Listen, 17 is my magic number because at that point, the amount of interest that would get in a money market account is more than my salary.
It's just 17.
So 17.
Don't be greedy, man. Just take the 17 and run.
Yeah, pretty much. So you know, putting that in perspective, a few years ago, Microsoft bought LinkedIn, you know, the place where everyone pretends to be an adult as they look for their next job, for $29 billion. So, you know, we're talking about roughly like three times that amount, give or take. You know, it's insane, right? But
video games are worth more than social media.
Absolutely.
Especially when you got all the big ones, right?
So
they got Call of Duty. They got
Overwatch,
which isn't. Yeah.
It's got a follow,
but they kind of ignored it as they're prepping for Overwatch 2. I think.
Yeah.
It's kind of fallen by the wayside. Not as bad as Heroes of the Storm. Throw that one in there. The World of Warcraft, one of the biggest MMOs ever.
Yep.
Probably the biggest MMO ever, I think.
Easily. Like, it's to the point where people are making their own, you know, like, sub-games within the game. Like, it's huge, you know. Like, it's become its own world. Yeah.
Diablo. They got all the biggies. They got all the big ones. So, I understand why they paid as much as they did for it, but it's... As a WoW player, it worries me.
Yeah, so I'm glad that, you know, I it's funny, after I invited you to come back on the show, I was like, you know, it's like, yo, you play these games, you know, so I really wanted to get your take, because so me not really being all that invested in I'm not a WoW player. You know, I casually play Overwatch. I casually will check out the Call of Duty games, mostly because my niece loves them. And if, you know, she wants to play, like, I'll jump on real quick. But I'm not really, I don't care. Like, you know, in the sense that I am not going to pre-order any of these things. I'll get them because I have enough people in my life that are peer pressuring me into playing. But you know, for me, like, my perspective is just like, look, it makes a lot of sense. A lot of these games are known for their, you know, in-world purchases that are purchased with real money.
Yep, those constant revenue streams. Yep.
You know, and I think the biggest one that really stood out is Candy Crush, because I know people who have never picked up a console in their life that are dropping, you know, a couple hundred bucks on Candy Crush every couple of months. You know, like, it's
insane.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's
on a match three game?
Dude. But, you know... but again, so like you kind of coming a little bit more invested. I'm just curious, you know, where your feelings are with that thing and, you know, where you think it's going.
All right. Well, real quick, just to establish my credentials, I guess. I am in World of Warcraft. I'm a heroic raider. I do ahead of the curve. I've gotten ahead of the curve every tier for the last several years. I am a Keystone, KSM Keystone Master. So I've gotten the peak of Mythic Plus. So that's their five-man dungeon stuff and the bigger raid stuff. I don't do PvP because I suck at it. So I just do those two things. But I'm decent at those things. I'm not great. I'm not a cutting edge world first kind of guy. But I do engage with the content quite a bit. I play every day. Every day I run at least one mythic key with my group. So I do play World of Warcraft quite a bit. And I can't think of a single time Microsoft has bought a company and made it better. I can't. Maybe it has happened, but I can't think of it. When Microsoft bought SwiftKey, my predictions went straight to ass. I've had nothing but trouble with it since then. I like the skins. I like the ease of most of the predictions, but some of that shit is just like way out of left field.
Yeah.
Some of the shit that it comes up with. So like every 3 months I have to just completely wipe out my predictions and start over because it starts guessing weird shit on me. Let's see. LinkedIn was never really that big before, but I don't think they did anything with it. Skype. Holy shit. Microsoft bought Skype and that turned into a giant clusterfuck.
It's basically Teams now, isn't it?
Well, it's dying. They're getting rid of it.
Yeah.
They're getting rid of it next year, 2023, 2024, something like that. They're actually killing it off. Then let's what was the other one? Mixer. Mixer lasted 10 fucking minutes after Microsoft bought it.
Yeah, I forgot about Mixer.
Yeah, so did Microsoft.
It's just like, it's funny. You hear the name and it's just like, oh shit, that's what happened. I do remember that. Yeah. Like that. Yeah,
it was a completely different streaming service that had been, they had been doing decent and they were gaining a following and they were getting users and streamers. Yeah. And then Microsoft was like, oh, well, we don't actually have to do our own thing. We can just buy this. So they bought it. They changed the name. They paid millions of dollars to pull streamers away from Twitch. And it was fucking dead like 3 weeks later.
Yeah, it's just like it's like they paraded it around for the news, for the press release. And then immediately after said, well, fuck it, throw it in the back.
So hearing that Microsoft bought Activision, I'm sure fucking Bobby Bloodsucking Kotick was great. He had a raging boner for the rest of the night. But for the players and for the employees, you know, I don't know if Microsoft is going to like come and put their fingers in. What was it? 343.
Yeah.
The one that used to make They killed 343 too. That one just popped back in there. So I don't know if Microsoft is gonna actually get their hands in the inner workings or if they're just gonna let Activision Blizzard keep doing their thing. But neither one of them seems like a good idea, honestly. Microsoft fucking with things hardly ever works out well, and Activision Blizzard is in a lot of trouble right now because people let them do their own thing. So I don't know, man. It seems like a shit sandwich either way.
Well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that, Activision Blizzard doing their own thing. You know, I think part of the and there's been a lot of rumors about, you know, how much Activision Blizzard would have been asking for had they not had basically the last 6 months of back-to-back sexual harassment cases brought against, you know, C-suite leadership. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing like a little sexual harassment to bring the price down, I guess. But
a little.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. That's like
the whole company was built on a culture of sexual harassment. Like, let's just go ahead and codify this into our bylaws. We're just gonna make it. We're gonna walk around every Thursday, sexually harass all of the female developers.
It's almost as if dateless nerds who somehow managed to crawl out of the basement. Getting a company and being allowed to run it on their own is a bad idea.
Uh-oh. Am I back?
There you go. All right. Nice.
What happened? My internet crapped out for a second.
All right. Well, didn't miss much. but basically, that it sounds like every possible negative stereotype that you could think of about nerds and business seem to have rang true in Activision Blizzard. Again, this is just going based on the just sheer number of sexual harassment complaints that have been brought up against the company. The fact that people were just like shuffled around instead of really actually addressing them. And the fact that they just don't seem to have had any mechanism by which, you know, like, when you work for a grown-up company, sexual harassment is not something that anyone wants to hear, and it's not taken lightly in the least. It's, you know, that's usually one of those things that's a career ender. Even if it's not actually sexual harassment, just the fact that it's, you know, thrown out there. And it just seems to be like kind of Wednesday at Activision.
Yeah.
You know, it's a serious problem. So yeah, to your point, sure. You know, kind of going either route seems to be a bad one. And you know, my hope is that Microsoft, a lot of people are saying, well, Microsoft did this so that they can like solidify the Xbox Pass thing. I forget what it's called. Is it called Xbox Pass? Whatever. Game Pass.
That's it.
Yeah, Game Pass. You know, like to make it, you know, a more viable contender. And yeah, like, you know, like I think we all can kind of see the writing on the wall that, you know, subscription services for gaming make a lot of sense because, you know, why spend, you know, $60 for, you know, the latest software download, and then you're going to pay for all the little add-ons down the DLC down the line. Like, look, I'm an ass because I've given Capcom way too much money on one fucking game. Street Fighter, yes.
What game is that?
You know, it's just like, yeah, I must have bought that game like five times over in like the six seasons that they've had for that game. It's just like, it's stupid. But you know what? If we're going to move.
I'm guilty with that, with Tekken. Tekken 7. I've got all the DLCs and
I love that game. I love those games, but at the same time, it's just like I'm stupid. I'll be the first to admit I'm stupid because like, why am I spending, you know, just give me the, if they would have said, listen, here's $200 to get the whole game. I'm like, fuck it. Take my $200. Cause I was going to buy it anyway.
I mean, I'm a bit of a chump. So I mean, I do things like that. Like, look, I know you're not putting the video up, but I mean, just look at all these boxes behind me, man. You don't want to know how much I paid for some of those boxes.
Yeah, man. So I think we ran up all of our stories for today. You know, I think it's pretty safe to say that neither one of us is feeling very confident about neither Microsoft nor Activision at this point. But you know what? At least they have something to throw on their Game Pass marketing. They now are, who knows, maybe they'll position to be the exclusive platform of the next Call of Duty game.
I don't think they'll do that. They said in a release that Sony is an important part of the gaming industry, and they are going to continue the relationship with Sony. Mm-hmm. And I have no reason to believe that they wouldn't, because that's a huge, huge revenue stream to cut off. There are tons of PlayStation players of Call of Duty.
Yeah.
I mean, just by sheer installation numbers, you wouldn't want to screw yourself over like that. Now, there might be some exclusives on Microsoft and PC, but I don't think they would cut them off completely.
Yeah, like
simply because they're limiting their revenue then.
Do you think it'll be something like – do you see that as being something kind of like would it be something like skins, or would it be something more like some kind of like gameplay type of exclusive?
I don't know. I don't think they would restrict like maps or anything like that. They wouldn't have Microsoft specific maps, because then again, you're restricting your base, right? So if you got a third of your base that can't even get into these maps, they may as well not even exist, because then you're gonna piss off all of those players, and they're gonna
It's not fun for either side, right? Like, because you figure if you're on Xbox or PC and you have this exclusive map, but you want to play with other people who aren't necessarily like on that same platform, like, you know, what then? But yeah, makes sense. Makes a lot of sense.
So skins, I could see, like exclusive weapon skins, easy enough to do. But I don't think any actual power will be exclusive. That would be detrimental. I think
it would put the game balancing to shit. Like, if you think about it, right? Because it's just like, let's say you make you give like an Xbox like some crazy power where, like, you know, they can call up I'm forgetting what they're called.
Even if you give them a weapon with a lower time to kill than other weapons that are available to PlayStation players, that's still going to average out to Microsoft players having an advantage, which would seriously, seriously piss off the base and lose you a lot of customers. It's just not worth it.
Yeah.
It's really not.
Yeah, but, you know, like, it'd be interesting to see what they do. Like, I always kind of like figured the timetable for something like this would be like 2 years out, right? So whatever's been cooking, you know, so far, we'll probably see the light of day, you know, uninterrupted. And then, you know, you start seeing some of the changes kind of like at the end of, I guess it would be like towards the end of this year, as they kind of figure out which direction they want to go.
Well, there's already been some stuff that got paused almost guaranteed that they paused things when the acquisition started. Like, just from World of Warcraft, I can give you an example. Normally there are four major patches with every expansion. They're spaced about 6 months apart. So you get like 8.1, 8.2, 8.3, 8.4. Then in between those, you'll get like an 8.1.5, 8.2.5. So you have like your major patch that'll release new dungeons, new raids, new currencies, and then your little minor patch, which, you know, opens up an area or gives you some extra power that you didn't have before, whatever. This is the first time since Warlords of Draenor, which was back in 2009, I think. First time since Warlords of Draenor that they basically just dropped an expansion at the third patch. So we're not getting another major patch after 9.3. We have another year of this expansion left, and there's not going to be any more major content updates. There's one more coming with a new raid. They're splitting one of the dungeons into two dungeons because it's fucking huge. But there's not going to be anything after that. So there's just going to be this dearth of content for a year.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that a lot of that has to do with the Microsoft acquisition, just because whenever you have a huge acquisition merger kind of thing like that, your big projects get put on hold.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because I don't know why it is. I'm not a corporate big head.
It probably comes down to just resource allocation. It's just like trying to figure out, like, you know, where to put the budget, like, how, you know, like, It's numbers. It's really what it
falls. That makes sense.
You know, it's just like, okay, like we spent $68 billion on this group. You know, how are we going to get back every last cent of that within an acceptable time frame? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you figure like if you're gonna pay your engineers, your developers, your artists, so on and so forth, on an expansion pack, when you could maybe say, well, let's show them what the new Microsoft Activision looks like, and you know, put resources to something new, or even just say like, you guys are just too expensive. You know, so yeah, I could definitely see that. It's, you know, from the business side of things, it literally becomes a bean counters game.
Yep. You know? So yeah, I see things getting put on hold just in the games that I play, mm-hmm. Because of it. I don't like it, to be honest.
I don't blame you. You know what, though? If it's any consolation, I can almost guarantee you that you won't see any slowdown in what's that, Candy Crush development? So, you know.
Got to get those new Candy Crush boards.
There you go. $5 a pop, or, you know, $1 to go to the next board.
$10 will get you 100 boards. Dude, I know exactly nothing about Candy Crush, except it's a match three game and my wife used to play it all the time.
Listen, all I know about it is that it's a very, very efficient medium by which to separate people from their money.
It's really good at that.
It's all the best things about slot machines without ever having to give them anything in return. Mm-hmm. So yeah, good times. All right, man. You know, I just want to wrap it up. We've been on for a little bit now. I just want to say, you know, thank you for coming out this evening. It's always fun just kind of shooting the shit with you. It's always good. Yeah. It's always a good time. You know, who knows? Maybe if they ever let us back into the auto show, we should probably make a day of it.
Dude, New York has to stop being a fucking COVID explosion.
Who are you telling? Shit. Like, you know, without putting my family's business out there, it's just like at this point, we all just kind of cycled through like since just before the holiday. Like, mm-hmm. I it's funny because like, you know, I haven't seen my family in about a month almost, give or take. Because first I got sick, and then, you know, I'm like, I'm not going to put anyone else in danger. Let me sit my ass at home and ride this thing out. Mm-hmm. And then I found out that a cousin got sick, and then, you know, one of my nephews got sick, and then my mom got sick. And it's just like, and it's wild because it's just like no one really had too much interaction with one another, but it's just like regular shit. It's like going to work. You know, you go to work, you come home. Oh shit, you got COVID.
Grocery shopping.
Yeah.
Walking behind the wrong person.
It's wild. I'm like,
dude, I got COVID. I wear a mask every time I leave my house. I'm double vaxxed. I haven't got my booster yet, but every time I leave the house, I avoid, you know me, I don't like people. And I got a mask on.
Yeah.
So I don't know how I got it, but I ended up with it. Couldn't taste anything for a month, but I sat my ass right here in this chair for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I went upstairs to use the bathroom. And
yeah,
that's it.
It's, you know, like it's not funny, but it's just like, you know, I don't see how people can know that they're sick and then still be like, yo, let's go to this fucking COVID party real quick. It's just like, that shit don't resonate with me. I don't understand it. I'm like, I don't get it. I'm never gonna get it. And I'm not even gonna try.
Nope.
But yeah,
trying to figure out where people's heads at is always gonna leave you lost and confused, man.
Yeah, man. But you know, thanks again for hanging out tonight.
Anytime,
you know,
dude.
I definitely would like to see more of you on here.
Oh yeah.
Just because it's always fun. It's always fun. And yeah, and you know, if you want to let people know where they can find you online, now's the time. You know, you want to promote your OnlyFans or whatever else. Like, you know, now's the time to do it.
Come check me out at OnlyFans.com/Vito. Actually, don't do that. I don't know who that is. It ain't me. You might end up with some shit you don't want to see. I don't know. But no, I don't. I don't really have anything online. I used to write for Noisecast, but I don't really do that anymore.
Yeah.
But I will definitely come back to the podcast. I'll do that for sure.
For sure.
If you want to have me on here, I like running my mouth.
Yeah, for sure, man. Like, you know, I for a brief second, I had considered doing the WTF news just because, you know, like you were back. Maybe the next time I'll do that.
Okay.
You know, and just so you know, it's not what the fuck news. It was what the Florida news, because every single fucking thing we ever ran came from Florida.
So much Florida shit.
Yeah.
Well, now we got Arizona jumping in there too. So
we always,
Arizona's just about as crazy as Florida these days.
Yeah. Well, you know, between that and like the non Austin parts of Texas are always fun.
non Austin.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's been good, man. We're gonna do this again, like, you know. And if I can actually round up everyone, I probably will have you all come back for one clusterfuck of an episode, because there's no other way to describe what happens when, you know, the original crew gets back together and get to talk all at once.
All just tangent after tangent. Can't have a topic list because we never follow it.
Yeah.
But it's always a good time.
All right, man. Thank you again for joining. And for everyone else at home, this has been the Noisecast. And by our complete lack of, I guess, sticking to the subject, you know it's been the Noisecast. And I am Alberto. You can find the Noisecast on the social media stuff under the Noisecast. On Instagram and Noisecast everywhere else. You have a problem with anything that we said during this episode, keep it to yourself or put it up on Twitter. Both are equally good options. Again, this is Alberto signing off. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll be back soon. Peace.